the promise
that genetically modified organisms would lead to fewer pesticides, but that did not to be proved. In fact, pesticide residues are now found on and in just about every living thing, and that leads us to ask, are vaccines that contain weed killer safe?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1075th edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Saint-Tropez who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Struby on the boards. Jason.
A pleasure to roll with.
How are we doing out there?
I think we're good.
Now, I have a question for you before we move on. Have you had your flu shot yet?
Not today. It's been a while, actually.
Are you going to get one?
Not on my top of my list of priorities.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Folks, they promised their GMOs would allow farmers to use fewer pesticides, but their promise did not prove out to be true. In fact, their promise proved to be the big lie. How big a lie, you ask? According to a peer-reviewed study by Washington State Professor Charles Benbrook, herbicide use increased from 11 million pounds in 1987 to 527 million pounds in 2011. You heard right. Increase from 11 million pounds to 527 million pounds. Consequent to this increased use, pesticide residues like that of the weed-killing herbicide glyphosate can now be found in and on just about every living thing. The manufacturer of glyphosate, which is known by its trade name Roundup, and of the GMO crops tolerant of glyphosate, also promised that the human body simply sloughs the stuff. And their promise is backed by the full force of the federal government of the United States. But others, like research scientists Don Huber, Stephanie Seneff, and Anthony Samsell, claim there is a direct link between glyphosate and the development of human disease. And in fact, the World Health Organization now seems to back them up by claiming glyphosate is a probable cause of cancer in humans. In a forthcoming peer-reviewed study, researcher Anthony Samsell will reveal how the weed killer glyphosate has been worked into the nation's vaccines. And so today we pause to ask, are vaccines that contain weed killer safe? Well, here we have Anthony Samsell to ask, and welcome back to the Food Chain, Anthony.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Pleasure to have you aboard. Been a while. Samsell Environmental and what is it?
Public Health Services.
Public Health Services, okay. What exactly is that?
I'm an environmental and public health consultant. I've been one for 40 years or so. Originally, I worked with the world-renowned think tank Arthur D. Little in Cambridge, Massachusetts, as a research chemist. I then joined the corporation as a consultant to the corporation. So I do a lot of research projects, environmental and public health projects. I've done several recently in Arkansas, one down in Georgia, and of course I have research papers and glyphosate studies that I've been doing.
How did you come to focus so much of your effort on glyphosate? Why did you do that?
It's the world's most popular herbicide, and it's in virtually everything that we eat in the country. And the rise in diseases, I suspected was related to something in the food supply. When I started suffering myself from irritable bowel syndrome and a few other things, some skin conditions and whatnot, I kind of related it to the fact that I was using glyphosate herbicide. Leave the hype from others that the material was safe. But back...
How is it that they say it's safe? I mean,
well,
how is it something that kills weeds is safe to eat?
Well, they
how do they rationalize that? What they, I mean,
the way they rationalize it is with the LD50, the lethal dose, how much glyphosate it takes to kill you, the acute toxicity. Glyphosate is relatively non-toxic. It takes 5,600 milligrams per kilogram to kill a rat. Our own amino acid glycine takes about 7,900 milligrams per kilogram to kill a rat. So when you look at glyphosate, which is an analog of our amino acid glycine, they're relatively non-toxic. But it's not about how much it takes to kill you that's the problem with glyphosate. It's what glyphosate does once it enters into biology, and that's what my years of study of this chemical have revealed.
Now, glyphosate is one part of the GMO crop strategy, the other part being the organic pesticide that they use, that they infuse within every cell of every plant. Does that not have an impact on human health as well? And wouldn't the two working together kind of confuse which is which?
Genetically engineered proteins that provide resistance to glyphosate are one part of the equation, and the Bacillus thuringiensis insecticidal proteins that are inserted into some genetically engineered crops for insect resistance, that's another part of the equation. All of these proteins can have an effect on biology, and the herbicide can have an effect on biology. My own field in lab studies with genetically engineered corn, I looked at about 49 different varieties of genetically engineered corn and compared them to non-genetically engineered corn. I haven't published the findings yet because I'm still working with these genetically engineered varieties from DuPont, Monsanto, Dow, Syngenta, whatnot. What I found was that glyphosate caused changes even in the genetically engineered proteins, like the fatty acid composition. Was altered by glyphosate in the genetically engineered. If you grow the genetically engineered crop without using glyphosate, you get one line of fatty acids and vitamin isomers. When you spray glyphosate on the crop, it changes the vitamin isomers themselves, like vitamin E, to a form that actually induces inflammation, and it also changes the fatty acid complement within the particular corn variety. So glyphosate has an effect, and the proteins have an effect.
And yet the Monsanto and et al. Seem to be saying that since, you know, you're not taking a toxic dose of this stuff, that it, there is no impact on the human health. There is no relationship between glyphosate and disease. But this is something that you pointed out back in 2013, that there is a relationship between...
Actually, earlier than that, Michael, when I wrote the federal government, I wrote the Food and Drug Administration, CDC, EPA. I sent a letter through my U.S. Senator so that it would be a matter of record. I told these agencies back in 2012, I listed all of the different diseases that glyphosate would be responsible for inducing, and that was before I published the first paper with Stephanie Seneff.
So now,
these agencies.
Now, of course, the federal government listened to you and believed you, and right?
Not.
So that leads me then to ask you, it seems like you and Stephanie and others are standing up against the whole world of money. How do you do that?
Well, science is truth. And you know, we're presenting the research. It's peer reviewed, and they can accept it or not accept it. They choose not to accept it because it's affecting the bottom line of major corporations.
And it's really the way in which we grow food these days. It seems to be that glyphosate, Bacillus thuringiensis, are the two mechanisms by which we have industrialized agriculture, and now they are ubiquitous in our system, and that's going to be where we take this conversation after this coming break. What happened to, how did weed killer get in our vaccines? Amazing. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, Anthony with us, Anthony Samsell, and you, 831-479-1080.
Wow, MetroFarm.com says we can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
And we don't even have to own the land, we can lease it year to year.
MetroFarm.com says we can grow fruit on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, vegetables in city greenbelts, and ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
We can even grow flowers on our wooded hillside.
Get all the information you need to grow for profit at MetroFarm.com, including the complete guide to earning 5-, 6-, and 7-figure incomes by farming small parcels of land. Meet the farmers who earn the money. Find experts at MetroFarm.com who will examine your property and assess which crops to grow. Meet consultants who will help steer your project to profitability. And get the latest news about the business of growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
We've always dreamed about farming a small parcel of land. At MetroFarm.com, we can get all the help we need to stop dreaming and start growing.
Well, folks, the Monsanto company claims, and the Food and Drug Administration concurs, that glyphosate is harmless and excreted from the human body. Others say not so certain, one of them being Anthony Samsell, who, along with Stephanie Seneff, has authored a number of peer-reviewed papers that suggest there is a link between glyphosate, the weed killer herbicide glyphosate, which most of us know as Roundup, and human health. So, wow. All of a sudden, we have something that is ubiquitous throughout the agriculture community, and it's working its way into the food chain and into our food and into our bodies. And now, Anthony Samsell is coming out with a paper that suggests it's in our vaccines. Anthony, why did you look in vaccines for glyphosate?
It was just a natural extension of what I was studying concerning glyphosate at the time. I have I lost track of.
Well, wait a minute, Anthony. Is anybody paying you to research glyphosate? I mean, is somebody paying Stephanie? It seems like Don Huber. It seems like all of you people have taken on this as kind of a personal jihad of some kind.
No, it's something that's affecting my children and my grandchildren, and everybody else. I mean, I know lots of people that that are sick, and
wondering why.
And wondering why some of those folks have changed their diets, gone organic. And they're seeing improvement in their health. It's not a misconception. It's a reality. It's factual that this herbicide causes disease. Monsanto's own trade secret studies showed this very, very clearly. I have probably close to 100,000, over 100,000 pages of Monsanto's documents. I have over 120 of their studies. I lost count of how many of their studies I have. They're all trade secret. I've read them all. And I can tell you that Monsanto's pathologists noted some very, very interesting things in those studies. They found that glyphosate destroyed the basement membranes and the structure of every gland and organ in the animals during long-term studies. The pituitary gland, the thyroid gland, the testicles.
Then how can they say that it causes no harm, and why does the federal government back them up?
Well, they say that it's relatively non-toxic, and that it doesn't cause disease because they didn't see it express disease in a dose-dependent manner. The system is set up so that that they rely on the dose as making the poison. But with glyphosate, that's not true. Glyphosate behaves randomly and chaotically. And the reason that it does it is because the demand for glycine, the amino acid glycine in protein synthesis, happens on an as-needed basis randomly throughout our bodies and those of animals. Glyphosate is an analog, a structural analog of our amino acid glycine. And it can substitute for that amino acid.
Wow. Are you saying it can trick the body?
It can trick our RNA when it's selecting the amino acids to construct peptides and the peptides to chain together to form proteins. It just slips into biology. I mean, this is not uncommon. This happens in biology with other non-coding amino acids. There are several other examples that I cite in our new paper, which is about to go out for peer review. And in that paper, I cite almost a half a dozen different non-coding amino acids that will misincorporate into proteins, cause them to misfold and malfunction, and cause disease. And that's how glyphosate causes disease, through misincorporation, misfolding, and malfunction.
So you went looking at vaccines, and what led you to think there might be a problem with the weed killer in vaccines?
Well, because I was studying connective tissue diseases that are based on collagen. And collagen is one of our proteins that forms the structure of the extracellular matrix. We have collagen, we have elastin, fibronectin, and laminin. These are the structural proteins that form the hard tissues that are around all of our cells. Bone is composed of these also. There are 27 different types of collagen, and bone has a high amount of collagen, and there is a high amount of glycine in collagens.
So there's the connection.
And now we use bones to make gelatin, and we use gelatin in all kinds of consumer products. We use it in Jell-O for gelatin in desserts. We use it in wine and beer as a fining agent to clarify wine and beer and apple juice. And so that's how wine is contaminated. That's how beer is contaminated. That's how apple juice is contaminated with glyphosate. It's from gelatin being used, added to the products to get out the impurities, and it leaves glyphosate residue behind. So I started testing all kinds of gelatins and gelatin-based products. And everything I was testing, I was finding glyphosate in. So the next step was, well, they use gelatin in vaccines. So I began testing vaccines. Now, they don't just use gelatin in vaccines. They also they use eggs and other animal-based proteins, like blood products, bovine serum and bovine calf serum,
and on and on.
All of these animal-based products, particularly blood products, carry a high amount of glycine. And Monsanto found that glyphosate bioaccumulated in all tissues, including the blood, and highest in the bones and bone marrow. They did radiolabeled studies with glyphosate and found that it accumulated in the brain, in milk, in the eggs of chickens.
Okay, back up just a minute, though. How does it get into the animals?
Through what they eat. If anyone that's eating a diet or any animal that is consuming something that is contaminated with glyphosate will absorb and bioaccumulate glyphosate in their own biology.
So all of that feed being grown under glyphosate, all of the corn, all of the soybeans.
90 to 95% of the corn and soy is contaminated with glyphosate. So virtually every product in this country is contaminated with glyphosate. All the meat, pork, chicken, beef. Our milk is contaminated. Our eggs are contaminated. Everything in this country is contaminated.
Well,
and Monsanto did studies in animals, goats, chickens, beef. They studied eggs. They studied over 160 different vegetable and fruit crops. They even studied olives and peanuts, the absorption of glyphosate pre-plant, before you even plant a crop. They found glyphosate residues in everything that it was used on.
Okay, folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about the weed killer in our vaccines and in everything else. It's just here, it's there, it's everywhere. And it is the foundation upon which we grow a lot of our food. So what impact will that have on our health? Here to help us figure that out, we have Anthony Samsel and you, 831-479-1080. Pick up your phone. Join us if you dare. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they promised that their GMOs, or genetically modified crops, would allow farmers to use fewer pesticides. But their promise turned out to be the big lie. According to Washington State Professor Charles Benbrook, use of herbicide glyphosate went from 11 million pounds in 1987 to 527 million pounds in 2011. Now glyphosate is found in just about everything, all the food and all of the food feed that we feed our animals. It's here, it's there, it's everywhere, and it's in our vaccines. So says Anthony Samsel. Anthony, how did you go about finding the glyphosate in the vaccines?
Well, as I mentioned in the previous segment, I'm working on a research paper on how glyphosate affects connective tissues and causes connective tissue diseases like COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, chronic kidney disease. There are lots of connective tissue diseases. How glyphosate destroys our joints and causes arthritic conditions and pain, lupus. Just myriads of diseases that glyphosate can induce because it's a synthetic amino acid.
And then you found that the collagen, of course, is used in the vaccines. But what did you do? Did you test all of these vaccines?
Yes, I initially started with one round of testing. I tested five different vaccines. I tested a Merck MMR2 vaccine, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, a Sanofi diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccine, a Merck hepatitis vaccine, a Wyeth pneumococcus vaccine, and a Novartis influenza vaccine. And my initial pass on those, I only found two that were contaminated with glyphosate. One was the MMR vaccine, and the other was the flu vaccine. So the flu vaccine is grown in eggs, which I knew that the vaccine would get contaminated from eggs because of the ubiquitous nature of it. Mm-hmm. And I knew that any vaccine that used gelatin would probably be contaminated. And they use about 12% gelatin as an excipient in the MMR2 vaccine. So I hit pay dirt with both of those. So then I decided that I would get a different lot of more vaccines. And I used two laboratories because I wanted to make sure that I didn't have an anomaly of just a freak occurrence. So I started to analyze multiple vaccines, and I used a couple of different laboratories to confirm each laboratory against each other. And what I found was that the Merck Zostavax vaccine, the MMR2, the Verivax, which is the chickenpox vaccine, the pneumonia vaccine, Pneumovax 23, and Merck's ProQuad, that's the measles, mumps, rubella, and varicella vaccine. I found that those Merck vaccines were all contaminated with glyphosate. I also looked at another manufacturer's hepatitis B vaccine by GlaxoSmithKline, the B Energex B. I found that it was contaminated with glyphosate. I looked at Sanofi Pasteur's Adacel DTaP, the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis shot. That was contaminated.
Well, what percentage of the vaccines that you tested turned out to contain the weed killer?
Most of them.
Most of them. Well, that's good news. Gee whiz.
As a matter of fact, I revisited initially the Pneumovax 23 from Merck. I didn't find any contamination. But when I revisited it did another a sample, it was contaminated. It came in at about a tenth of a part per billion, but it was still there. Let me just say, bring some clarity to glyphosate. Put glyphosate into perspective. There are 3.561 trillion molecules of glyphosate in each part per billion. Let me say that again. There are 3.5 trillion molecules of glyphosate in one part per billion. So to find a part per billion in a vaccine is a big deal, because now you have 3.5 trillion molecules, and each one of those molecules can participate in protein synthesis and cause a misfolded protein and a protein that will malfunction and lead to disease. So in the MMR2 vaccine from Merck, I found a level of 2.9, roughly three parts per billion. Another time, another sample, I got the same result, and I got the same result in another lab. The highest level of glyphosate was in that MMR2 vaccine.
But one of the things I saw listed in your list was Disney gummy bear vitamins.
Oh, yeah.
Because with eight parts per billion.
Yeah. Well, not just Disney gummy bear vitamins, the Flintstone vitamins. All of those gummy vitamins are contaminated with glyphosate. All.
Hmm. So, okay, here we are.
And it's because they're made with gelatin.
And the gelatin is made from animals, and the animals are fed with feed that has been grown under clouds of glyphosate.
Right. I even tested the protein powders, those advanced nutrition formulas that people take for their health. Power Max protein powder. I mean, there was about 15 parts per billion glyphosate in the Power Max protein powder.
Well, okay, so here we are. We're inoculating our children with these vaccines. We're feeding them gummy bear vitamins. And where is all of this going to take us? That's the question we're going to pick up when we come back from this forthcoming break here. It just seems impossible that we are doing this to ourselves if, as you say, these contaminants in parts per billion can cause the damage that you suggest they cause. So when we come back, I just have to ask you, where is industry in this? Why are they allowing this to happen if it is happening as you say it is happening? Where's the federal government, the Food and Drug Administration? And what about it out there? I mean, these are things that we're feeding our children and inoculating our children with. Where is this going to take us? 831-479-1080. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, scratching my head, with Anthony Samsel, who is a researcher, medical researcher, who had the chutzpah to take a bunch of vaccines and have them analyzed and found them to contain glyphosate, the weed-killing glyphosate pest herbicide. And now we're eating that stuff and we're inoculating our children with it and feeding it to them in their vitamins. What do you think? 831-479-1080. We will be right back. Please do stay tuned. Well, folks, they say that their glyphosate, their Roundup, will kill weeds but won't harm you and I, which is a pretty good deal, I think. But really? Do you think that to be true? Not so certain myself. Let's talk with Anthony Samsel, and let's talk with, let's see, I believe we have Ramona on the line. Ramona, is that you?
Yes, hello.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the information, though. It's very upsetting to hear this. I've followed some of your program and the last time as well. Perhaps before you conclude, you could summarize it briefly for those of us that are a little bit technically illiterate. I make bone soup with a healthiest sources I can get, save all our bones, and you know, grass fed and all this. It's a major part of our diet. We have it most every day, and add glycerin. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay, but it's a great point, because I'm a big fan of bone soup myself, and yes. I'm really astute about how I've tracked down the bones for it. Anthony, what do you think? Bone soup?
Well, you've got to be very careful. You've got to know your source. You have to make sure that it is absolutely positively organically sourced and that those animals have never eaten anything that has glyphosate residues, because Monsanto found that glyphosate bioaccumulated highest in the bone and bone marrow. And so if you're making bone soup or boiling those bones, I mean, you're releasing glyphosate if the glyphosate is contained in the collagen of those proteins.
Wow. Well,
I have a myofascial type myofasciitis condition, and I've been noticing it's kind of acting up lately and not feeling right, so it's making me wonder.
Well,
about this.
Watch your sources. Thank you so much for the call, Ramona. Really appreciate it.
And could you summarize this again before he concludes, to make it brief so we understand exactly what's going on with the
okay.
Components of it and what to kind of avoid. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for the call. What about it? Can you summarize it really quickly for us? What exactly is happening here?
It's being passed through the food chain. In the biosphere, everything is connected. What affects one affects all, whether it's bacteria, these microbes in the soil, on or within us, or if it's our pets, farm animals, or us. If we're exposed to this synthetic amino acid, it's going to bioaccumulate in our biology, in virtually every tissue of our being, and it's going to cause the destruction of every gland organ. It's going to cause the destruction of the connective tissues of our joints, our bones. Your teeth will fall out. That's something that Monsanto's rats experienced. The pathologist showed that their teeth were falling out. It's because of the collagen involved in the root. It was inferior.
Wow. Catherine Frompovich, tuning in from Philadelphia. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am very excited to hear Dr. Samso, and thank you for putting him on, Michael. Why I'm calling is I think this is so important, what he's talking about, because, as you know, I'm an investigative journalist in holistic health, and currently the CDC has a proposed rulemaking for which there is an open comment period until October 14th, where they want to do this, and this is critical. This mammoth rulemaking that they are trying to get implemented is what I call a dragnet rule, so that they can reclassify whoever they feel that they want to think is sick, who has not been vaccinated, who coughs, or even an airline passenger or somebody on a bus can be carted off because if you're coughing too much and so on and so forth. Plus, they will give you vaccines. They will give you treatment that you don't necessarily need, want. You will be charged for payment, room and board.
Catherine, where do we find this?
Well, the best place you can find it is on my activist post. I am Catherine Frompovich, Frompovich. Go to Frompovich at Activist Post and Archives. And you will see in the first five of my archives this entire CDC rulemaking and where to go to file the comment by October 14th.
Thank you. Thank you, Catherine. Really appreciate that. What about it, Anthony?
This is very, very serious because, I mean, they could see you with a rash on your arm or face, and they could pull you aside, and they could quarantine you, and they could force you to be vaccinated. They could put you in restraints and vaccinate you if they wanted under this rulemaking. I should note that I wanted to mention something else about glyphosate.
Can you hold it? We're going to take a quick break.
Oh, sure.
And one last break and a few minutes left to say everything in the world. Do stay tuned. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host with our Anthony Samsell. And you, of course, are always welcome. 831-479-1080. Vera on the line and you as well. Do stay tuned. Wow, it's everywhere. And what are we going to do about it? Anthony, you had one point that you wanted to make about glyphosate.
That most likely the entire blood supply of the U.S.
is
contaminated with glyphosate. I sent that in a letter to my U.S. senator a couple of days ago. She's forwarded that on to the CDC, National Institute of Health, and the Food and Drug Administration. Because of the ubiquitous nature of glyphosate in the food supply, Monsanto found that from each dose of glyphosate, each meal of glyphosate, that glyphosate remains circulating in your bloodstream for 7 to 14 days. That was the beta half-life, which means that it could circulate for 2 weeks to a month from one feeding. So if you're eating three meals a day that are contaminated 7 days a week, you're building up...
Monsanto has all of this information?
What's that?
Are you saying Monsanto has all of this information and they're still selling...
I'm saying that Monsanto doesn't even realize what they've caused. These are... things that I've extracted based on their research and related them to us. And the potential of our entire blood supply in the U.S. Being contaminated. Not just our vaccines. We're in serious trouble. This is a synthetic amino acid that substitutes for our amino acid glycine. It causes misfolded proteins. This stuff causes Alzheimer's disease. Monsanto found that glyphosate caused cataracts in the animals, and their pathologist said that it appears that that the cataracts are glyphosate related. Now, what does glyphosate have to do with cataracts and Alzheimer's disease? Well, a recent study showed that the plaques, the brain plaques and fibrillary tangles of Alzheimer's disease are identical to the plaques of cataracts. They're the same proteinaceous material.
Vera, I think you have the question of the day.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, my question is, how is getting a vaccination worse than serving your child the scrambled eggs or yourself having a chicken or a meat sandwich or even a bone soup?
You're mainlining the stuff. The glyphosate is not seeing the digestive tract and getting into the bloodstream that way. It's going directly into the bloodstream. So it's going to have even more of an impact on your biology. Another thing, when you inject glyphosate into the cells or in your body, glyphosate can react with the nitrites of your metabolism. And when it reacts with the nitrates, it forms N-nitrosoglyphosate, which is a carcinogen. Veterinarians find that often when they give vaccines to animals, that the site becomes necrotic and becomes cancerous. Well, that's just what glyphosate would do in these vaccines. And glyphosate is in the animal vaccines, too.
Mike, wild animals.
Yeah, how about I do a lot of hunting, and I really enjoy deer and elk and that, and like to get organic seeds. Is that stuff contaminated also?
Thanks for the call, Anthony.
Not organic seeds, because when they produce organic seeds, they can't use glyphosate on the fields. So the glyphosate would not be in the seeds unless they were cheating the system. As far as deer and elk, yeah, deer and elk, if those animals are coming down on the...
If they're eating domestic stuff, they're going to be in trouble. Folks, we're out of time. Anthony Samsel, thank you so much. Folks, remember Michael Olson's third law of the food chain, cheap food isn't. Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you.
Wow.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen.